Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel. Jesus said, "For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you'll begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.'" So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, when I read this text and it mentioned these two doors, the wide door and the narrow door, immediately I was reminded of an episode of Frasier that I'd seen, where Frasier gets a invitation to a certain spa, as it turns out, that was supposed to go to someone else, but he ended up getting it. And so he and his brother go to this place, kind of finagle their way in, and so they're allowed to go through the silver door. And they go through that door and they experience this amazing spa experience, and at the end they're all relaxed and happy and overjoyed about this experience until they see on the other side of the room a gold door. And so they try to go there because gold's better than silver, right? And so they are stopped and not allowed to go through. So they spend the next week trying to find someone who can get them a ticket to go through the gold door. They get that. They go through the gold door and they have an even better experience. It's just fantastic, out of the world. And they're so happy until they see on the other side of the room a platinum door. And they try to go through there and again they're stopped. And this time when the coast is clear, they just go through the door. And as they go through the door, their entire faces are lit up with just glow of this beautiful light. Finally, their eyes adjust, and they realize that they're in the alley outside the building. Okay? And they've learned their lesson. Now, it just shows you with these doors, they're very exclusive. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. In this text, what prompts Jesus to give this kind of mini sermon here is someone asking a question, and they ask the question, will few be saved? And Jesus does not answer that question. Instead, he answers another question, and that question is not if few will be saved, and then he looks at all these people and he says, but will you be saved? And he goes on at great length to describe what's being said here. And it is kind of frightening what he says. This is second week in a row that we experience a Jesus that is kind of out of context to the one we're used to and prefer. You know, the Jesus just kind of walking around with his disciples and forgiving people and feeding people and healing people and just being an all-around nice guy. That's the Jesus we like. Last week, Jesus says, "I came to bring division. I came to bring a fire in which that fire would already be lit." And that's bad enough, but at least that division and that fire is talking about now, our life on earth. What Jesus talks about in this text is about forever. He says, some of you will seek to enter through and strive to enter through that narrow door, and you won't make it. It's talking about hell. Now, in our society, there's an awful lot of Christians that this text doesn't really bother them at all. I guess because they just don't believe any of this stuff. All right? I would, on a weekly basis, I make sure that I look at other sermons that are preached in our community at mainline Protestant denominations. And it's amazing how the preaching and the message has radically changed within my lifetime. You went back to the 60s and listened to those sermons. I mean, the basic storyline is going to be the same as is preached from this pulpit here. Some differences, of course, with more teaching on works righteousness and how you get to heaven, teachings that are not Lutheran on the sacraments, that type of thing. But what you see now is just radically different. I mean, there is never any discussion of personal sin. There's a lot of talk about sin as it refers to the environment or to politics or large social things, but never individual sin, never original sin. Never do we hear about divine judgment. You hear a lot about judgment, people making judgments about different things, this, that, and the other, but never divine judgment, and there's never any talk of hell, ever. And shockingly, there's very rarely any talk about Jesus, which is strange because these church buildings do have crosses on them, and that refers to somebody named Jesus. Last week was interesting because Jesus was actually mentioned, but he was mentioned not because of his atonement, not because of his death on the cross or resurrection, but he was held up as an example of a social justice warrior. The sad thing is he didn't even get first billing, okay? He was number four. Number one was Muhammad, number two was Martin Luther King Jr., and number three was Gandhi. And then they popped Jesus in there. Now, according to this, of course, these people, and you can just about any commentary you read is going to talk this way. Every single road leads to the same God. All beliefs are valid, and really the only thing that matters is that you're sincere. Now, how do you handle a text like this? Well, the most popular way of handling a text like this is to avoid it. Secondly, to say, well, Jesus didn't actually say this, right? The person who wrote this gospel, whoever that was, you know, was in a bad mood someday or something, I don't know, and he just popped this in here. So he was the mean person, not Jesus. Or, and this is a new popular take on a lesson like this, more and more, they simply just say, well, Jesus was wrong. Well, we don't have that luxury. Truth is truth, and Jesus speaks a very painful truth here. And it's very important for us to understand to whom Jesus is speaking. For one thing, you see in this what's happened in society and to the church, you see the work of Satan. I mean, to affect and change and made this radical shift in the Christian church, did he really have to tempt Christians to kill and to steal and to commit adultery and to do the big ones? No, all he had to do was tempt Christians to say beliefs don't matter anymore. And then we get what we have. We look at this text and we see Jesus speaking to a group of people who are not atheists. Okay, these are Israelites. These are people who believe in the law and, to the best of their ability, follow the law of Moses. These are people whose ancestors are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who Jesus speaks to. And he says, many of you will strive to get through the open door, the narrow door. Few will make it. There is an end coming. Words that always send a chill up my spine, even today, if anybody happens to say this. Luckily, I don't hear it very often. But it was all throughout my school life, okay? Kindergarten all the way to my last year at the seminary. Whenever a teacher or a professor would say, put away your books, get out a piece of paper and a pencil. I always knew what that meant, okay? Pop quiz, never prepared for it. I always did all my studying at the end, okay? And so I always had to face that. This was it. There is no going back. There is no second chance. I'm going to fail this test. That's the horrifying truth Jesus says here. That there is an end coming. And what's very important for us is we actually understand what he's saying in verse 24, because we can really misunderstand this. He says, many will strive, but few will make it through the narrow door. And we think to ourselves, well, I'm striving to get through the narrow door. How am I exempted from that? Why is someone who strives not get through the narrow door, we ask ourselves? Well, obviously because they didn't strive hard enough, right? You got to strive harder. You got to avoid sin more. You have to do more good things. You have to go to church more. You have to be more faithful. All of these things is what you have to do. And if you strive just enough, you'll get through the narrow door. Problem is, you never know if you've done enough. That's not what Jesus is saying here. If Jesus is saying that, then basically Jesus is saying that striving is what gets you into heaven. Doesn't that sound like works righteousness? Yeah. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. When you look at the context, you see why those are striving that he mentions here don't get through the narrow door. Why? Look at the entire context of everything that follows. Because the door has been closed. Door's not closed right now. That's a future day. The door is open. And striving is important. And yet something comes before it that's just as important, and that is not striving to get through the door, but first and foremost to understand what the door is. It's not good works. It's not righteousness. It's not you making the right choice for Jesus Christ. The door is Jesus himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John it says, Jesus is the door through which you pass. He's the door. For those striving to not get through because the door will be closed, what will they hear? They'll hear some of the most horrifying words ever a person could hear. And that is, I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. Go away from me, you evildoers. Those words should have sounded familiar to these people because Jesus is quoting David in Psalm 6. That psalm is about a group of Israelites who didn't want David to be king, and they're attacking him, and they're undercutting his kingship. And David is pleading to God for help, and that help and redemption finally comes. And then David turns to these enemies, and he says, get away from me, you evildoers. This is what Jesus says. But he'll never say it to us. And it's not because we're righteous, it's not because we don't sin, it's not because we're special in some way in and of ourselves, it's because of Jesus Christ, the door. He's given us the faith to see that he is the door. He's given us the faith to see the mercy that opened the door. And he's given us the faith to see that the door is not something we're seeking to go through, it's something we've already been brought through. Now, do we strive to live a life that's in fitting with who we are as children of God? Of course we do. We strive to do good. We strive to avoid evil. We strive to go to church, to read the Bible, to learn God's word. We strive for all of this, but not in order to get through the door. We do that because we've gotten through the door. We do that to bring joy to our lives, joy to the lives of others, and joy to our Heavenly Father. So what gets us through the door? For me, I'd say one word, and it's baptism. When I was an infant, my father baptized me. And when he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what was taking place was all the promises that God has made to his people since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob until this day came true for me. The promise that my sins were forgiven. The promise that Jesus had written my name into the book of life. The promise that Jesus had given me his own name and that Jesus knew my name and Jesus would never forget me. The promise that Jesus would never look at me and say, I don't know you, because he chose me, because he died for me. And that's the case for all of us. Every day of our lives is remembering our baptism, waking up and realizing exactly who we are as children of God and how that happened. Realizing we have the faith and confidence of knowing that we are in the kingdom, that we have passed through the door because the door is Jesus Christ. He loved us enough to die for us. And the promise that he will be with us and never forget us is a promise that he will always keep. In Jesus' name, amen.